What are we talking about? Like, in the things we're talking about? Sorry.
Welcome everybody to another episode of League Pass and Chill, brought to you by Fallout 76, in stores now. That is the last time, this episode is the last time you'll hear that sponsorship. Thank you to Fallout 76 for the partnership, it's been real.
It's been so fun, guys.
I am Olga Nulich, I write about basketball for foxsports.com.au. I'm joined by Harrison Pullinger, Ted Smith, Gadi Natalevitz, and there's a lot that's been going on. We do have to bring something up first. We didn't record last week. And
shame.
Yep.
Shame. shame.
That worked.
Shame on you.
Yeah, no, we're sorry.
We're sorry. We're ashamed. We shouldn't have done that. We were all very busy. It was to the point where Gadi and I were in here working. Harrison came in ready to do the pod. He wasn't supposed to be in the office. And he left so angrily.
We sent him home, yeah.
When we say working, like, it's the biggest heavyweight fight I can remember.
So Gadi and I were on the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder watch.
And it was also UFC Adelaide as well. So we didn't get out of here doing our actual job until like very late at night, which meant that the pod couldn't be done, unfortunately.
So Olgan and Gadi say they write about basketball. It's also NFL. It's also UFC. It's also boxing. They're just like the Swiss Army knives of Fox Sports Australia.
Thank you so much for that.
I'll tell you. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me.
If only our bosses listened to this podcast. So Harrison was
so real.
Harrison was so mad. Mm. I felt like I took a child's like lollies away.
I don't think there was a childish anger. Yeah. I think there was genuine fury. Like, I was absolutely worried about starting a conversation with you the next day.
Which was fair. We'd spoken about what time we're going to meet multiple times before, and then I get here 15 minutes later, oh, we're not going to do it. You can go home now.
Oh, brutal.
It wasn't as brutal as that, but sure.
I pulled out real late recovering from a Bucks party, so that worked out excellent for me.
Mm.
But the listeners, we do apologize. We're going to make it up to you.
Speaking of shame, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I might as well. I bought 4 tickets to an improv show.
Yes, let's air out our dirty laundry right here.
And I was really looking forward to it because it's one of my favorite things to do is to see the Bear Pack. They're a 2-man crew. They're one of the best improv you know, troops you'll see in this country.
Because there's so many troops.
I bought tickets for all of us. Gadi and I went. Ted backed out at the last minute. He went to a protest and he was a bit hot. So obviously, naturally, that means he can't do anything after that.
Sunstruck, mate. Real thing.
Okay. It was in the evening. Harrison pulled out the day before because he had to go on some sort of date with his long-term girlfriend.
Mm.
What, if you don't come to this improv show, she's going to break up with you? Come on now. Katie's a lovely
person. Let's do power rankings on whose excuse was what.
Look, I think what we need to make clear is tickets were purchased.
Yeah.
Money was spent.
And
people pulled out late.
So I think we should go back to the point where I came into the office last week.
Angry.
And then got sent home.
This is actually Harrison's long game revenge.
So I guess I'll...
And then basketball happened between that time.
This is true. Look,
stop trying to change this.
I'm going to leave it to the intelligence and fair-mindedness of our audience. Please, if you have a desire to tell us about what you think about this, please hit us up.
Who's in the wrong? Who should Harrison and Ted pay Olgan back?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do it.
All right, it's settled.
How much was it?
Harrison, I'll email you my BSB. No, you've got my stuff. We're good. So look, there are lots of things to be ashamed about, whether it's, you know, backing out of an improv show that you had previously committed to, whether it's missing out on a podcast because our loyal listeners want to listen to us. We're going to speak about things that we're ashamed of toward the end of this episode, and that things, you know, perhaps teams, perhaps players should be ashamed of too. Let's go with that theme. Let's make the most of a bad situation.
An episode drenched in shame.
Correct.
Let's do it.
But first, let's go through some of the bigger talking points of the past 2 weeks, I guess, but, you know, what's more relevant right now. One of the big stories came yesterday. We're recording this on a Sunday. Matthew Dellavedova was traded back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, from a basketball perspective, immediately, it doesn't really mean that much for either team. But from an Australian perspective, Delly's going home.
If we don't care, who will? Right?
So. Cleveland.
That's the spirit.
Cleveland will care.
Cleveland care. They got the Delly back.
They got their boy back.
You know, he's totally going to go back and do lots of things.
Legitimate NBA question with the Delly trade.
Yeah.
Do we expect Delly to play alongside Sexton, or is he going to come on relief as relief for the rookie?
He'll lead the second unit, surely.
Pretty much, if he plays.
I think he'll play.
I think he'll play a bit.
Well, he's got to play. It's the same contract, right? It's a lot of money.
I have a feeling that they'll play him, you know, spot minutes, and then they'll try to trade him again. That's my guess.
Good luck.
Ooh. And it could be that's the reason why they did this trade so early, so they can aggregate his contract into another deal to potentially trade him again.
I think you might be right, but it could be. It's a really poor season for Cleveland, obviously. But when Dellavedova was there last, he was one of the most popular players on that team.
He's very popular in Cleveland.
And given, like I said, that they suck at the moment, it could be a way to keep a few bums on seats.
He is also one of the best, like, bench guys in the league in terms of support. And, like, he obviously kind of mentored Malcolm Brogdon during his time in Milwaukee and stuff. So look, like, you can do worse in terms of a bench dude, and Cleveland aren't really worried about money right now because they don't really have anyone to pay. So it's a contract they can kind of keep until he's done and then figure it out from there.
I think on the flip side as well for Australian basketball, John Henson is gone as well, which means Thon Maker might get minutes.
Hey.
So yeah. Aussie basketball. Getting to watch some of our players ball.
Yeah.
I felt the sincerity there. The thing with the trade to Cleveland as well for Delly, you know, you spoke about how Delly, you know, helped mentor and was a good guy, good locker room guy with Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm.
I feel like he can do the same thing with Colin Sexton.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And I would pay to watch those practice sessions between Matthew Dellavedova and Colin Sexton.
I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't.
Okay, I would pay like symbolically, me saying it here, it's a thing to say.
Sure.
I wouldn't literally pay to see such a thing.
Yeah, they are both dogs. There'll be a lot of fire in the training sessions. I think that'll be fun, but I mean, I don't think we can pretend that it's going to...
One more thing before we move on. I just hope Dellavedova looks more comfortable at Cleveland like he was when he was there previously, because he looked like a banana at a pickle party at the Bucks. Like, he just didn't fit in. There was never any flow. Like, he just didn't look at home.
A banana at a pickle party.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
it just came to me.
So we have to point out as well, you know, the reason that this trade was made. It was basically the trade was Matthew Dellavedova, John Hansen, a first rounder, a second rounder for George Hill. Now, the idea is George Hill has $1 million guaranteed on his contract next season. So the Bucks can waive George Hill for just $1 million. They'll have more than $18 million on their, you know, left to use on their books. And so that gives them the ability to go and get a potential superstar.
And that's what you think they're lining themselves up to do.
I feel like that's very transparently what they've,
yep.
Much to give up. So for that, though, a first and a second.
For a top-tier free agent, they won't get.
Yeah, it's Milwaukee.
So that's the thing. If you think about just like the crux of what this trade is, it's basically just a first-rounder for cap space.
Yeah.
That's what they've traded. They didn't care about Delly or John Hansen. I guess they're hanging their hat on, you know, Malcolm Brogdon and Eric Bledsoe and Giannis basically being just positionless people all aboard that team. I guess Thon Maker is their backup five now, and they're cool with that. So it's just a first rounder for cap space. You don't think the Bucks can lure anyone, even with Giannis?
I know it's still someone, but
it's still Milwaukee.
Like when you think free agents next season, you're thinking Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving,
like Klay Thompson,
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah,
I guess
who are them are going?
I guess the question remains is, are you looking for, like, what level of star are you looking for? Because Giannis is obviously going to be your number one guy.
Yep.
What can Chris Middleton get to? Like, right now, is he a 1B superstar or a 1C superstar? Like, do you need to get a guy in the middle of those two? Is that possible if you're Milwaukee? Like, there's a lot of questions, but you got to think that this is the right move for them. Like, if they're ever going to win a title, they have to get more talent. And
well, Bledsoe and Brogdon are both free agents at the end of the year. So they're going to have to pay both of them to keep them around as well.
Do you make that move? Do you pay both of them?
I'm paying Brogdon.
I agree.
I don't know if I'm paying Bledsoe.
Correct.
Someone's getting paid.
Someone's getting paid, but that seems that like a first rounder, a second rounder.
What about you, Elkin? Do you think there are any viable free agents that Milwaukee could get?
Well, see, the point is that there are so many good free agents coming up. And there aren't that many spots available.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say two of them are going to go next to LeBron. Let's say, for the sake of argument, hey, KD and Kawhi go next to LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, if Klay Thompson wants to go elsewhere, there aren't going to be many options for him.
He would have been perfect at Philly, but now they got Butler.
Right. You know, does he, like Sacramento, I'm sure will have some space, but, you know, how much better is Sacramento than Milwaukee? I think Klay Thompson would be perfect.
Oh, weather-wise?
From every perspective, when you think about, I guess, weather, the culture of the team that's in place, everything like that.
I'm taking a pay cut not to be in Milwaukee.
I think the Bucks, like they might want like a Leonard, but they're more likely to get a JaVale McGee or a Shaun Livingston.
We're talking about them landing like one superstar. There's a chance they land like two really good role players for a team that might only need a Giannis and Middleton.
If Giannis is the best player in the NBA in 2 years.
Yeah, if Giannis turns into what? And also keep in mind the first and second round picks are 2021. So it's like a long way away for them to just like, I know it seems like they're giving away future success, but legitimate teams survive by playing winning basketball and becoming free agent destinations and that sort of thing. I don't know if Milwaukee will ever win enough to become a free agent destination, but like the Warriors haven't had a first round pick in years and they're doing all right.
Is that the first year that high school students are allowed into the NBA draft though? Because otherwise that's the year that you might have twice as much talent and you've just given your picks away.
I don't know that.
This is for another pod probably, but I reckon that's a mirage too. Like, I wouldn't get too excited about high school talent.
If you had the chance to draft Zion.
Yeah, exactly, right? But if you don't get Zion, who else do you get out of high school? You know, it's rare.
Dwight Howard came out of high school. There are some big
boys. Yeah. Dwight Howard 15 years ago, but how often, like the drafts go by. Simmons was another one that could have played straight out of high school, but it's usually one or two or none. It's one of those numbers that can play straight out of high school.
But you only need a couple of them filtered in with the fact that you've already got a full draft of college players.
But Milwaukee's Bucks aren't getting any early picks.
Yeah, exactly. Bucks is first round in 2021. If they're going in the same, like if they keep going where we think they're going to go, is a late first round pick.
Right. So, and then to put a lid on this as well, just think of how much development that high school player will need or a rookie in general would need.
If he's not Zion,
right. And even
if he's ready,
even if it is Zion, I don't know if Zion starts for the Bucks. Right?
No. He's already like the most well-built man in the NBA. He's not in the NBA.
No, but he's right. The 2021 Bucks will be in a win now situation. So,
are you willing to give up that, you know, quote unquote future, which is a draft pick, in order to put yourself in a position to win now? I think they do that.
I think it's the right move.
I don't think they spend time focusing on developing a person who won't be a key guy on a championship, what they hope is a championship team. So on that, let's move a little bit to, you know, another trade that the Cavs did, which was Kyle Korver to the Utah Jazz for Alec Burks. Basically a straight swap, just in effect. Does that move the needle for the Jazz or the West at all? Them having a 38-year-old Kyle Korver, who granted is one of the best shooters of all time.
I think, I don't know. Gabby, what are you reckon?
it's hard to quantify because I think the Utah Jazz will do better anyway, whether they got Korver or not. So even if the Jazz improve with Korver there, it's not, it's because they traded Kyle Korver. It's like, no, because they realize they're one of the top four teams in the West, which they probably still are. A lot of people, we've said it before, had them as the second or third team going into the Western Conference playoffs. But look, Burke had wraps on him 18 months ago, right?
I read it.
So to give up. So I'm kind of interested to see what he can do at Cleveland, because if he has any pride or a bit of backbone, getting traded for a 38-year-old Korver in almost a straight swap, that's got a sting, dude. It's got a sting.
I'm big on Alec Burks. I have been for a little while because he's fun to watch, and him going to the ring is an absolute myth. He just he disappears. He throws his body around. His limbs go everywhere. He's really entertaining to watch. And to your point, his last three games have been 14-7-4, 22-7-9, and 13-7.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
He's putting numbers up already in limited minutes. I think with that George Hill trade, there's going to be minutes opening up for him and Rodney Hood, depending on who's going to take that spot at shooting guard. And Alec Burks can play a bit of point guard as well. So maybe he slots in above Dele and is playing that backup point and a shooting guard role. I think Cleveland benefited from getting him, but like Kyle Korver.
I do find it kind of funny that Rodney Hood and Alec Burks have both like left the Jazz and are now at Cleveland and are the same question marks. It's just like, can this guy like do this? Like, yeah. I don't know. Is he consistent enough? Like, he seems really good, but he never puts it together for long enough. Like, it's just kind of funny that the Jazz have managed to offload like two question mark dudes on the same team.
Yeah.
To the same team.
Yeah.
Before we move on, do you think the acquisition of Korver was so they can tell Mitchell and the Jazz can tell Mitchell and Crowder to put the three-point shot away, because they take up heaps. They take heaps of shots and aren't good. But the
crowd is the ultimate, like, just like he's just going to keep shooting, and it doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
so much
just
confidence like, for his abilities.
Such a confidence, dude. I don't know. I think the Korver trade for the Jazz like makes sense on a bunch of levels. Whether it's gonna I think as Ted said, they were gonna sort it out. Regardless, I still don't know that they're as good as you guys thought they would be at the start of the season.
That's
but
fair.
I did find it funny that Korver got a Gatorade shower after 15 points and hitting three threes in his like home debut for the Jazz, which is just like, no one deserves a Gatorade shower after 15 points.
Home rebirth, mate.
I know, but like, come on, let's relax.
Look, so the Jazz at this point, they're the 11th seed in the West.
Yeah. Is that good?
No, it's not good. We're going to talk about this later.
I mean, the Rockets would take it, but
so that's the thing. This Western Conference is a bit trippy.
Yeah.
So let's go. Like, the 11th seed is the Jazz, then the Pelicans, then the Spurs, and then the Rockets.
Any of those teams? No, none of us would be surprised if any of those teams made the playoffs.
No. So that's the thing.
No, none of us would be surprised if any of those teams were in the top four at the start of the season.
Right. As in, like, that probably would have been our, you know. For a lot of people,
they're in the playoffs for
everyone. 2-5, right?
Yeah.
Those teams. Yeah. There's a good chance that a lot of people would have had them there. What's going on? Does any of this stick?
What's going on?
Whether or not this sticks, and the West is incredibly tight. Like, the Rockets are in the 14th seed, but then really not that far off, like the 8th seed.
To put it in perspective, the Rockets are only like 2.5 games out of the playoffs.
Right. But I would like to say, like, they're 25 games into the regular season. Whether or not this sticks is kind of besides the point. They're 25 games into the season and they are the 14th seed in the West. Like, that is bizarre.
Did they lose 16 games last year? Something like that?
Jeez, I don't know.
They could match that by Christmas, dude.
They're on track.
especially considering they're healthy now. Like, this is them at, I guess, as healthy as they're going to be. You know, Chris Paul's playing, James Harden's playing.
Can you do me a favor? Can you read the Rockets' record and then read the 15th seed Phoenix Suns' record?
Okay, so the Rockets are 11-14 at this point. Again, not horrendous, yeah. But very low considering where we thought the Rockets would be. Phoenix Suns are 4-22.
My God, they're so much worse than anyone else in the West.
So, I put it like this. The Rockets are six games behind the number one seed. So they're only six games out of the number one seed. The Phoenix Suns are 7.5 games below that.
Yeah.
So that's not...
They don't count.
It is bizarre.
The Suns don't count.
They're doing such a good job of losing.
How much is the West? Just like, how good is the West? And also the Suns.
That's not so good. And for the record, sorry, HP, Rockets lost 17 games all last season. They're already on...
So they're
14? They're going to get there by Christmas. They stink. Sorry, HP.
I was just going to say, you look at that top eight in the West, you got like Warriors, Thunder, Denver. They're not going anywhere. They're staying all the way through the playoffs. Clippers, Lakers, Grizzlies, Blazers, Mavs. None of them really look like they're going to drop out either, though.
The West is just so fun right now. The fact that like Sacramento are like a good team at the moment is
Sacramento
just, like,
and Dallas.
It's so good.
Awesome.
It's so good. And they have young guys leading them, both teams. Yeah.
Again, to put into more perspective, again, the Rockets are the 14th seed in the West. They're 11-14. The Orlando Magic in the East are 12-14. So literally just one more win, and they're the 8th seed. They're in the playoffs.
And the Magic have had some sneaky good wins too against good competition this year, which surprises even Harrison, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does.
And I feel like we...
Not in a good way.
Oh. I feel like we, and along with everyone, have to acknowledge how good Nikola Vucevic has been.
Yeah.
He's been putting up just proper, like, Anthony Davis-like numbers. Like, but he's been putting up, like, 28, 15, and 6 assists, and no one's noticed.
Yeah, tell me, why does no one notice? What is it? What is it about him?
Plays in Orlando.
So he's, with respect, he's a boring white guy who's not as flashy as Nikola Jokic in a really weird market. Orlando's not a good market. It's not as sexy as Miami, for example.
Yeah.
And he's on a team that's just... It's just a weird team.
I feel like when Vucevic puts up, like, let's say 36 points, but like Aaron Gordon or Jonathan Isaac or Wesley Wundu or someone does like anything, that's the highlight. It's like, it's not, like, no one talks about Vucevic doing anything. I don't know. It's kind of it is a strange market.
And also, it's worth, like, college football is God in Florida as well. Like, in terms of the market, yeah. It's tough to crack.
The MLS get higher attendance rates to their games than the Orlando Magic do.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
Yeah. So that's probably why even Orlando don't care about Nick Vucevic.
Right, so the only people in Orlando that care about, like, Europeans are watching the football, not the basketball.
Exactly.
So, like, literally, even Miami is... The only time we care about a team in Florida is if that team is making the finals.
Yeah.
Sure.
Or if it has LeBron.
But Miami had some draw cards, like, from owner down. Like, they've always had some kind of superstar in there.
Yeah. And and Dwayne Wade's final season, I guess, isn't enough to bring people to Florida, I guess.
Even though he put out that awesome promo video.
He had, but the thing is, he had 35 points the other day, and I had...
That was sarcastic. That promo video sucked, man.
You didn't like that promo video?
No, who does that? Well, let it carry on. Come out and, like, tell everyone, it's going to be my last year. It's like, okay, just play.
Let him have a farewell season.
He can have it without, like, you know, all the bells.
They don't love you like that.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe.
Sorry.
No, Dwayne Wade dropped 35 points the other day. It was like 35, 5, and 5, something like that. Guardy had to be like, have you seen this?
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
I was like, have you seen what Dwayne Wade just did?
I was like, yeah, I saw it, but, like, who cares?
And I'm pretty sure the next game he scored, like, 4.
I would like to shout out the Heat today for holding the Clippers to 8 points in the fourth quarter. That's hard to do.
It is hard to do.
That Clippers team knows how to score.
They remember when they were first? Remember those days?
Wait, the Clippers?
Yeah.
They're in the fourth seed. It's not like they're falling too far.
No, that's how close the West is, though, right? Because it was like 4 or 5 days ago when they were first.
I remember a few days ago the Grizzlies were the number one seed. I wrote a big story about it.
Six!
They're the sixth seed now. But again, they're 2 games off the number one seed.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
First place is quicksand, man.
Point is, it's pretty tight up at the top of the West.
So, however, the number one seed currently, and probably for this foreseeable future,
mm-hmm,
are the Golden State Warriors. They've got Steph Curry back. They're
on 2021.
So they're the number one seed again. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Steph Curry is back. We're going to have this conversation right now. Is Steph Curry the MVP? So if we're looking at the number one seed in the East, is it Kawhi Leonard?
I wish the listeners could see Harrison's face when Olgan said he's Steph Curry.
So Harrison doesn't like fun. So that's the problem here.
And the one thing he likes less than fun is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Stop it. Okay.
He's a notorious Steph Curry hater.
No, I'm definitely not a Steph Curry hater.
I think that's so not true.
That's what a Steph Curry hater would say.
Amount of people who give him such praise.
I've got friends who like Steph Curry.
Okay.
No one. Yeah.
Say your thing.
I know like three people
He gets too much praise. He gets too much praise for what he does. And
I just want to hone in on that line.
Okay.
When I get
hone
my turn.
In, hone away.
Oh no, continue.
Okay.
Finish your point.
People calling him like he's had the best season in NBA history. Stop it.
He did.
He hasn't.
He did.
Michael Jordan, every year of Michael Jordan's career, I would take over Steph Curry. Completely for one reason and one reason only, the fact that he was an all-defensive player for pretty much his whole career.
Hey,
Steph
mate,
Curry, stop.
Steph Curry led the league in steals like one.
That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing.
Okay. I know. Remember when you said he gets too...
James Harden gets steals.
I just wanted to say that.
He gets too much credit for what he does is what you said. So let's take a look at what he's doing. Ooh. Steph Curry... is averaging 29.5 points a game,
mm-hmm.
5 rebounds, 5 assists,
mm-hmm.
shooting 50% from the field,
ooh.
50% from three,
wow.
and over 90% from the free throw. He's in the 50-50-90 club.
He is
all by himself.
By far the best shooter we have ever seen, the NBA has ever seen. Yet when the defense needs to also mark probably the best pure scorer in NBA history, who's also 7 foot tall in Kevin Durant, and one of the best heat check players, as Ted would say, the best heat check player.
His all-time season, though, great. Came when KD wasn't there.
Hey, man, they were throwing everyone at Harrison Barnes at you.
Yeah, oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Except in the finals when they left him open and he just missed shot after shot. I'm sorry.
And then you've got Klay Thompson as well. So, yes, he's an amazing shooter, but at the same time, okay, he's not copping double teams. It's the easiest time in the world to be a point guard in the league because every time you touch the ball, you either get fouled or your defense is not allowed to block you at all.
But this is very like old man yells from like
get off my lawn.
yes. This is what I'm sensing here. It's like but, take me back to the old days where you were allowed to like rough and tumble. Get rid of the 3-point line.
Mm.
But does he crash the boards?
You know what? I hate everyone in this room right now. He is an amazing player, but. Just,
I mean, actually, I can see what you're saying, especially when you bring up the Jordan comparison, because 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you take peak Jordan over peak anyone, but peak Curry as well. But surely you can see like the allure of Steph Curry, 2015, 38% from 39 feet. Like that's just going to get people that don't really like basketball to like basketball, and the people that like seeing like magical shots go in consistently, you can.
There's an allure there, dude.
I absolutely see the allure of him. I see the allure of his game. I enjoy watching him play.
It's just his face.
But and the only reason why this little anger is boiling inside of me is because of
little.
How much credit he gets as being one of the greatest players ever. And stop, he's not.
I'll
defend Harrison again. He is, as much as we love the basketball, this dude's a coach, you know. The fundamentals.
He was Steph Curry was Allen Iverson's starting point guard in his all time. I respect your coaching pedigree.
And the fifth best player on that team. So that's like
that cool. wasn't that's, cool. That's your opinion. That was not Iverson never said that.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that.
Okay.
He was also knocked out of other people's shame. Teams as well.
That shame was because we spoke about the Golden State Warriors for too long.
Oh.
Fair.
So Harrison so wait, Steph's not
fair.
So bitter.
So Steph's not your MVP? Is that what we've left to write that down?
No, Steph's not my MVP.
Who is your MVP, mate?
Kawhi Leonard is my MVP. The guy is the best defender in the NBA.
Yep.
He locks down almost every position possible, and he is doing a little bit of everything, and he's made Toronto a force.
21-6.
Yeah, this is the one time, not the one time, but I will agree with Harrison at this point, not necessarily on the MVP pick, but just it's kind of weird that, like, Kawhi and the Raptors are just doing their thing and people are like recognizing that they're winning, but they're not recognizing like how they're winning or who's playing this major role in it. Kawhi Leonard is like averaging 26-8-3 on the number one team in the East. He's putting up MVP numbers playing like an MVP, but again, like even his dunks, he had some monster dunks the other day. I think it was against Brooklyn.
Yeah, that left-handed dunk. Yeah, Jared Allen.
But it's like he still doesn't seem to get that like superstar hype that everyone else or all the other superstars get.
That's the energy he puts out there, though. Totally. Or lack thereof.
Yeah, it's probably his own doing.
Like, what was his line there again, please?
It's averaging 26, 8, and 3.
Because on back-to-backs, he's averaging 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Surely that's got to come into play.
Yeah.
If after all you'd have to do after Christmas, start playing back-to-back. But if he doesn't play back-to-back until March, you can't win it. Especially if Toronto continue to win when he's not playing, which they're doing. I think they're like...
He was injured.
I think...
Well, he's recovering.
Okay, Harrison, you lash it out, mate. I think the Raptors are something like 5-6 on games where Leonard hasn't played the back-to-back. And Kyle Lowry is leading the NBA in assists, the only man that's in double digits for that category. So, yeah, I'd be okay with Leonard having it. But Greek Freak, maybe. Like, he's got to be in the chat too. Like, I think we get carried away with what we're seeing on ESPN, and the chat does seem to be centered around Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But there's other players there as well.
Nah, there's big talk for Giannis, I reckon. And here's a fun stat, folks, at home. I scoured Basketball Reference. Giannis Antetokounmpo has not shot below 50% from the field in his last 20 games, and he's only shot below 50% twice this season. That's stupid.
And to add on that, he's only shooting 23% from outside 3 feet and 11% from three. Remember the start of last year? It was like, well, if Giannis works on this three-point shot, he's just like, nah. Yep. He's going to dunk it on everyone, dude.
Ted and I just tag-teamed a stat that should make you guys think about how good Giannis is.
He'd be my pick for MVP. Just when you consider how well the Bucks are doing too, man. They're second, 16 wins, 8 losses, and they were flirting with 500 for almost all of last season. It's a similar team to the one that took the court to the start of last season. So, you know, Giannis, if you don't give it to him now, it's a matter of time.
So look,
that dude's good.
So look, the Bucks right now, they're 16-8. I think everyone here that Kawhi Leonard is probably the MVP. I'm going to throw someone out there real quick before we move on to our next segment, of someone who could potentially enter the conversation or should perhaps be in the conversation. Joel Embiid is averaging 26.5 points, 13.3 rebounds a game, shooting the ball at a decent level, is a very good defender. The Sixers are 18-9. They're second in the East. They would be atop the West. So you have one of the best teams in the league and a dude performing on both ends like he is. I feel like he's in the conversation. But no one really talks about it because it's weird to talk about big men.
Yeah.
But I feel like he should be
in
the conversation at least.
He'll suffer in the MVP conversation at the moment because Philly started slow.
Yeah.
So they're catching fire now. So I think that – and their catching fire has kind of coincided with a slight dip in his play.
Yeah.
So I think he's just going to stay flying under the radar. I think one more guy which isn't getting enough credit for what he's done this season is LeBron James.
Yeah.
I think the numbers he's putting up on a team that...
It's close to par for his career.
Yeah, but some people expected... Yeah, but close to par on his career. He's in year 15.
No, exactly. I'm impressed.
People shouldn't be
impressed.
Doing that.
Well, people are sleeping on it. Right? They're the same numbers that... How many MVPs has he won?
Yeah.
They're similar numbers to those seasons.
I had the Lakers like maybe just scraping into the playoffs just because I didn't believe in the young guys.
I think a lot of people had that too.
Jesus, he's proven me wrong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's early still.
Well, look here.
It is.
Yeah.
But he...
He has led
I feel like we say that every podcast. Like, guys, well, we make some takes on here. But
no, but I mean, we just spoke about how tight the West is. Like, how the Lakers wouldn't be that far away from being outside of the playoff spots. But I do agree, like, LeBron...
And they started 0-4.
Yeah, so, that's true.
They're benefiting from the tightness in the fact that they're moving up.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, trying to chase the Houston.
Before we move on, just to comment on Olgan's pick for MVP, Joel Embiid. Do you think he gets hurt by the other narratives that come out of Philly?
Yeah.
Like when we talk about Philly, it's Fultz, it's Butler, it's Simmons not improving so far this season. There's so many stories to come out of Philly. It's like, oh, we forget that Joel Embiid's actually putting up numbers that suggest he's one of the best players in the world.
I agree. Literally, we don't talk about anything else really about Philly other than Markel Fultz and then Jimmy Butler doing some things. And I also think that's a reason why no one really talks about how good Ben Simmons is. because I don't know. So he's averaging like 16, 8, and 8. I don't think anyone in the league is averaging that other than probably Russell Westbrook and LeBron James.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's...
And they're pretty good, eh?
Correct. As in like one's a four-time MVP, the other's a one-time MVP.
Yeah, well, LeBron's pretty good, yeah.
This is correct, LeBron James.
Don't know about Russ.
Harrison's pennies dropped. We're going to... So on that, League Pass and Chill is brought to you by Fallout 76. That's in stores now. Go ahead and buy that. I must say, this is the last time we will ever bring up Fallout 76.
I mean, unless they just...
Unless they extend their partnership with us.
Feel free.
So if you haven't bought it, go buy it now, just to, so we can feel like we've contributed to that company's earnings.
Yeah, just tell the man at the counter that League Pass and Chill sent you and...
Yeah.
Ask him if he knows why you're buying this. It's because of League Pass and Chill.
And if he doesn't know, direct him to our podcast. We would like to accept him or her to our listenership.
Even if they hate basketball. No, don't do that.
Especially if they hate basketball.
Ted got a Facebook message.
What's that about? Podcast. That's not professional.
Not at all. So the second half of this podcast is all about shame. Like I mentioned earlier, we are ashamed that we weren't able to bring you a podcast.
Shame on you.
That's not a play. We're ashamed we couldn't bring you a podcast last week. I'm sure these guys are ashamed for not coming to the improv show that we spoke about earlier. Yep. A lot of people are ashamed for a lot of different things.
I am. But that was the inspiration for this podcast. Like, you know, we let the team down. It's like, well, let's own it. Let's point out some other things that bring us shame in relation to this podcast, because we've only got an hour.
So let's do this. Let's start with Gadi.
Yeah.
What is something that perhaps you're ashamed of, or that you think someone should be ashamed of? With regard to either your takes or just the NBA community.
Yeah, look, I mean, like, I'll look inward, you know, because I'm just that kind of guy. And, yep.
Okay.
Start of the season, I made a lot of predictions and whatnot and a lot of hot takes. And I think I did pretty well on the whole, but there was one glaring mistake, and that was after the Phoenix Suns had played one regular season game. And boy, did they look good in that regular season game. And I said, the Phoenix Suns are going to be good enough to compete with everyone on their day. And look, the Devin Booker injury hasn't helped things. But regardless, I was very, very wrong. As we discussed, they're what, 4-22?
4-22 is what they are.
Well, we thought a Ariza would help that team more, right? Add in a bit of a veteran experience, a bit of defense. But now they're talking about trading him.
Well, as in, I don't think there was ever going to be a situation where Trevor Ariza was the difference between a win or a loss.
Yeah.
If he was, that's part of the problem, right?
Correct.
Yes. But how much would he be helping Houston, right?
Yeah, like he's been the difference. Like, he's been
infinitely.
The
and I feel like some of us will probably talk about that as part of the things that some people should be ashamed of. Mm. So the Suns are 4-22. Really good effort on that prediction.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
Shame.
Yep. did you have another, or shall I continue?
I mean, I don't have another one for myself. I do have another one for a team in the NBA.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
And it's a team that Ted likes to talk up, you know, the Atlanta Hawks and what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And we've spoken about the Trae Young, obviously, and Vinsanity.
The Trae Young, I like that.
But The sanity we've forgotten is Linsanity. And I would just like to say that...
Wait, is that Linsanity or Lensanity? Len plays there, right?
I'm talking I'm talking about Jeremy Linsanity.
Oh, and shout out to my Asian brethren, by the way.
Yes.
Sorry.
Ted is Asian. I feel like we have to remind people because the accent just doesn't... Yeah.
And his name's Ted Smith.
Yes.
Go on.
Again... Jeremy Lin is one of my favorite players in the NBA. I don't really know why.
I feel like you should be ashamed of that. But go on.
Jesus.
No. I own that. And no, look, when he has played this season, he's been like a really productive backup point guard, which is what he has always been in the NBA. barring the, obviously, the insanity period. But that guy is being wasted away on the Atlanta Hawks bench, and I just really want a team to trade for him. So, like, it's a kind of a shame on the Hawks for wasting a talent, and I know why they're doing it. I get it. They're trying to lose games. But it's also a shame at the rest of the NBA for not trading for the guy.
Shame on
Phoenix.
Get on
Orlando,
it.
Every time.
He is the best. Yeah. He is one of the best backup point guards in the league, and I'm willing to put that out there without a shadow of a doubt.
He cops a lot of grief, but that's mostly because he'll never reach the lofty heights that we thought he was living at when he was in New York.
Yeah, true.
But he doesn't do anything poorly. Yeah. Like, he can do everything at a sound level. Defend, hit an open three, good passer, good vision, good court awareness.
When he was backing up Kemba Walker in Charlotte, that was the best version of, like, this recent Hornets team that we've seen. Like, Tony Parker's the closest thing to them having a backup point guard. They haven't replaced what they lost in Jeremy Lin's production since they let him go.
The other thing with Lin, just before we move on really quick, is he is not a financial risk. You trade for him, your jersey sales make up his contract.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point there.
That's really, yo. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
I feel like I'm going to tack on the end of your Atlanta Hawks thing.
Don't you dare.
I'm going to do it. You can't stop me. So part of the things that I'm ashamed, that I think someone should be ashamed of, is the Atlanta Hawks front office for trading Luka Doncic for Trae Young. I feel like that'll go down, and we're seeing it now as just one of the worst draft day trades we've ever seen, at least in recent memory.
Yeah, when you think they had Doncic.
Right, and it was
so much worse when you think about it like that.
It was just a straight swap as well. So they got
a first round pick.
Okay, but like, there's a difference between, they legitimately thought that Trae Young was better than Luka Doncic.
No, my argument is that they've got an idea of what they want their basketball team to look like. It's the Golden State Warriors. And like, they went all in. So yeah, it's probably going to, if Doncic's trajectory at the moment suggests that he's like 3 or 4 years away from being a top five talent.
Right.
Yeah. When you consider that a lot of the top five players now are 30 or older.
I think three could be missing the mark.
And
be closer than you think.
And yeah, well, he's like the oldest 19-year-old we've ever seen in the NBA.
My God, he's good.
Because of the experience that we've all spoke about before, European MVP, whatnot. But you know, I can't throw too much shade for Atlanta because they probably knew, right, that there was a risk there.
They would have all the importance
coming
idea,
into Doncic. Yeah. But no, we know what we want to. The style of basketball we want to play. We want to create an ethos here and stick to it. And they pulled the trigger on Trae Young. So I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to say it's the worst trade of all time until 2 years when we see Atlanta's blueprint come to fruition and say, okay, now you have experience in the players that you wanted to build around. Let's see what you got.
And the other thing as well is that, like, I know you say it's a straight swap, but until we see what that other draft pick turns into, because if that draft pick turns into a superstar player, that could be something where you're like, oh man, like, that was a pretty fair deal.
Yeah, look, I'm just coming at this from what we know right now. And what we know right now is Luka Doncic is the best player on a team that's in playoffs in the Western Conference right now. He is looking like you said, he could be a top five player down the line. And Trae Young is a historically bad shooter.
I like to imagine, like, in 10 years' time, someone who's not currently watching the NBA, or like a young kid that doesn't quite understand it yet, and in 10 years time Luka Doncic is like the best player in the league or a top three player, and they go to like Google, like, where did Luka Doncic come from, and on his Wikipedia page it says drafted by the Atlanta Hawks.
It'll be like Kobe
and Doncic.
Yeah, didn't Kobe get drafted?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Doncic is sitting there with like 3 rings in Dallas, and the kid's like, oh,
they could have kept
they
him.
Could like Atlanta, yeah. Bottom of the East, they could have had Doncic.
Yeah.
Oh, just really quick, my other thing that someone should be ashamed of is me. I should be ashamed of thinking the Utah Jazz would be so good.
Shame.
Thank you. I deserve it. No. I thought they, at this point in the season, they would be the number one seed. They're very not. They're the number 11 seed at this point. They look all out of whack. They're not the 3-point shooting team I thought they'd be. Joe Ingles is still playing really great. However, they're just not. They're nowhere near what I predicted they'd be. So shame on me.
Shame on you. Yes.
They're just so bad defensively. When last year it was like they were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
It's all a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, we don't have to go into the Rudy Gobert situation. Yeah. There's a lot that went on there. Let's move on.
Oh, okay, so I'll go over a couple of bad shamers. I said Cavs would be flirting with the playoff spot.
Sorry, what was that?
Cavs would be flirting with the playoff spot. I said,
because they're the best team in the East, right?
They're the current Eastern champions.
Yeah, they're the reigning champions. Yeah, yeah. That's very real. Yeah,
they made some off-season trades. that might have hurt them. I said the Kings would fall into the Sacramento River before they'd become a viable franchise. They're already a viable franchise and still dry.
That's a terrible thing.
They're the number 9 seed right
still
now.
Still dry.
But my worst one,
yeah.
I was so aggressive against the Timberwolves after they traded Butler. If you go back
so
and listen
aggressive.
To that. Yeah, yeah. It's because, like, the thing that I was...
Shame.
Wait, just let me...
Shame.
Shame. So I said they wouldn't be worth watching. That's where I was wrong, because they're good to watch, especially like I think it was Thursday or Friday. The Timberwolves win. It was one of those rare occasions where Wiggins and Towns both played really well. I'm still off Wiggins in a big way. Like he had a donut 2 weeks ago, like a game where he scored 0 points for someone that's potentially like top 2% in. 2% athletes in the NBA. Just so I was wrong about them not being worth watching. But what Karl Anthony Towns exploding after Jimmy Butler kind of proves Jimmy Butler correct in that he is capable of being affected mentally, because he clearly was when Jimmy Butler was there. So I've still got question marks over them in the playoffs. Remember, Karl Anthony Towns scored 2 or 3 points in their exit last year. But I was heaps wrong in terms of them sucking it up for the remainder of the season, because their current trajectory says that they are looking good for a playoff spot.
Yeah, big ups to Andrew Wiggins for moving into fourth in franchise scoring at the Minnesota Timberwolves, a stat that everyone cares about.
Yeah. I mean, so it'd be hard to catch second and third for the Timberwolves, though.
Oh, he's getting nowhere near Garnett or Love.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's not going to catch Cat too, because they're going at the same time and one scores more than the other.
Harrison, what are you either ashamed of, or what do you think someone or something should be ashamed of?
Okay, I said two things, which I'm pretty ashamed of. I'm sure I've said more, but there's two things that I wrote down and thought of.
Just replay the Steph Curry section from earlier.
Hey,
okay, Roswell.
Harrison's slashing down again.
Okay, the first thing was I said Dwight Howard will help the Washington Wizards.
Shame. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Apart from his off-court issues, Dwight Howard did not help before he went back to injury listed. So,
did he get surgery on his buttocks? I'm
not touching that.
Moving on.
I kept it as scientific as possible. Go on.
The next thing I said is Tatum would be the least likely sophomore to slump because of, and I think the quote was ease of bucket.
I've got his quote.
Oh, see, yeah, I probably agreed with you.
He said he was
that.
Just such an easy scorer, and I don't think he's. I don't know. He's just not having a great year, and a lot of people have said it's because he's shooting too many long twos, which he is, but he just seems to be making all his shots so much harder for himself. Driving into traffic, then stepping back, or doing turnarounds, if he could just pull up every once in a while, maybe it wouldn't be such a slump, but it's not looking great
A victim of being, I'm pretty sure this was the case this time last week, but the Celtics had the worst starting five in the NBA in terms of offense efficiency, which is mind-boggling.
They are starting to figure it out a bit.
Yeah,
five in a row.
But the Tatum was a victim of that for sure, because obviously, if those dudes were sucking it up.
Yeah.
But we keep on saying we're waiting for Houston to turn around, waiting for Celtics to turn it around consistently. Mm. I mean, Celtics, they snuck home against the Chicago Bulls today, 133-77.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, Chicago.
Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you.
Yeah, and the thing with, like, you were waiting for Houston. Okay, we know how good their offense can be. We're waiting for Boston. They already have a great defense. And we've seen little outbursts of offense from them. I think they're a couple of games away from being right at the top of the East, and they'll be fine. And hopefully Tatum will.
He had a good game today.
Huge part of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
My next one is Daryl Morey, GM for the Houston Rockets, which we've ragged on a bit today. The Chris Paul trade that he made looked really, really nice at the time, but he traded Harrell, Lou Williams, and I'm forgetting someone, Patrick Beverley.
Oh, give him back.
Sam Decker as well. Don't forget Sam Decker.
Sure. Please. Who's in Cleveland?
He's now in
Washington.
Washington, yeah.
In Washington.
He got moved on to Washington.
I traded for Jason Smith, who I didn't realize was still in the league.
Go on. Well,
he is. He played for Orlando. He did. Not very well. And then not only did he give away Harrell, who looks amazing this year, Lou Williams, who would, God, he would help Houston right now, and a really good defender in Patrick Beverley for a really poor defensive team. They then paid him a 4-year contract, which is ugly, and will have him earning $44 million in the fourth year of that contract, which will be untradeable. It is an albatross. Daryl, you're done messed up.
So Chris Paul, right now, if I remember correctly, averaging career lows across the board with regard to, I think it's the same amount of points. No, same amount of assists, less points, worse percentage, more turnovers. He's just not looking that good, and considering this is the first year of a 4-year, $160 million contract.
Career high in that, like, annoying face he makes, though, when things aren't working out, this I reckon.
Higher than some of those Clippers years?
I don't know. I feel like things were still going better than they are right now.
Definitely.
Just watching his movement out on the court looks like a completely different player as well. Like, in the fourth.
Older.
And just sitting in the corner sometimes. Like, we think of Chris Paul, hands on the ball in crunch time. There was a couple of games last week where he was just Kyle Korver in the corner.
Just forgot he was on the court.
Yeah, just letting Harden, like, the dribble, 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 like, shoot. Like, and that was, like, the last 2 minutes for Houston loss. And Chris Paul, he wasn't even wavering his arms around looking for the ball. So I thought he may have been injured, but he continues to play and looks rather pedestrian. So
I think we've spoken about the contract in the past, and we've mentioned the fact that the money and the length essentially boils down to they're paying him all of this money for this many years because they want to win now in the next year or two. And the problem is Houston don't look like they're playing winning basketball now at all. And to add on to the Daryl Morey weird decision making, like letting a guy like Trevor Ariza go out the door and then bringing in Carmelo Anthony and believing that's going to work, like, there has not been a lot of great decision making in Houston.
It all seemed very cutesy. Which it very didn't need to be, because arguably the Rockets were a Chris Paul injury away from being in the finals.
Yeah.
And so probably winning a championship, right? They were probably going to beat the Cavs.
Yeah. You would assume so.
And so that's just, it's weird that Daryl Morey went away from everything he saw that worked and decided to get all cute with it. And it's obviously not working.
As he said, get the best players and they'll figure it out, which was his reason for signing Carmelo Anthony.
That's why the Lakers did so well when they signed Dwight. Oh, wait a minute.
That's why the Nets did really well when they got Arnaz.
Everyone you think John Wall, and your mind straight away goes to that fifth year option of what is it, like 40? It's like 50 or something.
I think it's, I want to say 47 or something. It's outrageous. It's huge.
What about, it's not as bad as paying a 36-year-old Chris Paul $44.5 million.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Like, at least John Wall won't be 36.
I guess the assumption was that paying Chris Paul in that fourth year would be a lot easier to do once you had a ring.
It just sounds
it's just like, it that's just, not happening. Not
gonna happen. It just sounds like Saturday Ted not caring about Sunday Ted. You know, let's just do whatever we want now. Let's just think about now.
And then having like a really shit Saturday night as well.
I can't believe I owe Chris Paul $44 million. What just happened?
I like to think Daryl Morey wakes up most days and is just like, oh, Daryl, come on, D-man, what have you done?
No, that haunts you.
Shame on you, Daryl.
And my last shame.
Oh, yes.
Is quick shout out to Phil Pryor, who does the podcast here.
Oh, he needs one.
Huge Portland fan.
Shame, shame, shame.
That's for you, boy.
Shame on you.
Huge Portland fan. On November 17, Portland were number one in the West. Since that time, they have gone 4-6 thanks to a win over the Timberwolves recently. And the only teams they've beaten are Orlando, Phoenix, Timberwolves, and someone else, garbage.
Sorry, is that Western Conference powerhouse Phoenix? You're talking about that?
Western Conference powerhouse Phoenix, yes. Okay. Portland, you're in decline and it don't look good.
Shame on you, Ooh. Phil.
Shame on you, Phil.
Shame on you.
And that's our wrap. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to follow everything that we do, we have a website. We don't have it. We are a part of a website, foxsports.com.au. You can find all of our basketball content there, including this podcast, if you want to listen to it on Wooshka.
Wooshka.
You can obviously subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app, whether that's the Apple Podcast, whether it's Spotify. You pick.
Shame.
This has been League Pass and Chill. Shame, shame, we will be shame. Here next week, we promise. We'll see you then.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.